Good morning, everyone. It's Gemma here. We're really missing everybody, and we hope that you're keeping well. The boys are doing really well. We're just finding our new rhythm of life with trying to balance home working and schoolwork. So yeah, it has been a very tricky time, but we're so thankful that we've been able to connect with much of our family and friends through various video and tech apps. So yeah, we're doing really well, but we do absolutely miss you, and we hope that we'll be able to see you soon. Today, I thought I would share my thoughts on John 10:7, and I also hope that we'll be able to share communion together. So if you haven't got anything ready, maybe you want to hit the pause button and fetch yourself something that you have, some crackers or breadsticks or a piece of bread, and some juice. John 10:7. This is the third of the seven I am statements found in the book of John. I am the gate. In verse 6, John tells us that this is a figure of speech and it is therefore a symbolic saying requiring some interpretation. At the time, there would have been a common sheepfold in the village. At night, the shepherds would bring their sheep to the common for safekeeping. A guard would be hired to watch the entrance. In summer, the shepherds would build a protective enclosure for the sheep so that they could go in for protection and go out to the pastures to feed. The shepherd himself would lay across the opening to this shelter at night. If you've grown up in the countryside, or like me, have children, then you soon learn that gates are important, just as they were to the shepherds in Jesus' time. A shepherd without good gates was flirting with danger. He would be endangering the life of his sheep and tampering with his and his village's livelihood. We can take two things from this short verse. Firstly, that Jesus is the gate to the sheep. Jesus is the door by which a shepherd must enter in order to get to his sheep. What does this say about the absolute security of the sheep? Well, it means that it is Jesus who defends us and keeps us safe. It means that to get to us, Satan and all the unenemies of the church have to cross over Jesus, and that they can't possibly be successful. John 10:28-29 reads, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." We are secure, eternally secure, because Jesus is the gate to the sheep. Verse 2 reminds us that there is a proper way to approach the sheep. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep, namely through the gate. To go any other way makes you a thief or a robber. Jesus is the gate. This means the proper way to approach his sheep, e.g., the church, is through him. In verse 8, which states, "All who came before me were thieves and robbers." And here Jesus is talking about the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the scribes. Like thieves, they did not enter through the gate. They came to the people through the law and oppressive rules. They did not come to the people with Jesus. Jesus tells us that we must be like sheep. This reminds me of when the boys were babies, and I'm sure many of you can remember those early days and weeks of your own children and your grandchildren. A family member would hold the boys and have a cuddle, and whenever I spoke, the boys would move their heads and their eyes, trying to locate that all-familiar sound of my voice. It also reminds me of my brother-in-law's dog, who simply refuses to follow any command I shout at her, simply because of my unfamiliar voice. The church has to listen for the shepherd's voice, and the voice of the shepherd alone. The second element of this verse is that Jesus is the gate for the sheep. Verse 9 reads, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." And in John 1, verse 51, it states that Jesus is the ladder connecting heaven and earth. Jesus supplies us with all we need, the living water and the bread of life. As the gate, he offers the pasture of life to his sheep. And through Jesus, the sheep will come and go from the pasture. With Jesus in our life, we as sheep lack nothing. Unlike the Sadducees and the Pharisees, Jesus was sent to care for his sheep and not for personal gain. He came out of love. As the gate, Jesus came for the benefit of the sheep. Jesus is the gate to heaven. In fact, he is the only gate, and anyone who wants to enter must be saved by or through him. I think here of what Jesus said to his disciples. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no use looking for another gate. I think sometimes people think they can sneak in by doing good deeds or simply by attending church. But salvation is not up to us. It is only in and through and by Christ, for he is the gate. I'll conclude with some thoughts on how we can link this to our current global health crisis we find ourselves in today. Romans 10:13 says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Doesn't this scream to you that Jesus is an open gate or door? At the time of the early church, the closed door was represented by the Jews who made the decision to exclude not only Gentiles, but also Christian Jews from the synagogue. Theirs was a closed community with a closed door. During this pandemic, it's been said many times that whilst our buildings may remain closed, the church is very much open for business. The church during this time has been at the core of our communities across not only our local region, but across our nation. Our food banks are being called upon more and more, and I particularly think of the Martham churches, who have come together to provide a much-needed service to our local communities. As the weeks and months go by, we must listen for the familiar voice of our Father. As we enter new stages of the pandemic, we might be feeling anxious or nervous about going out. But remember, Jesus is our gate of protection, protecting us from thieves and robbers during this time.
Dear Jesus, we thank you for our doctors and nurses and key workers who have been working throughout the coronavirus. Please keep them safe. We pray for our school friends who we miss. And Lord, we pray for our church family. We pray that everyone is safe and well. Amen.
So I thought it'd be nice now if we shared communion together. So I hope you've got your bread and your juice. It's just me and Ben here. So we're going to have communion together, and I hope you can share with us. Ben's going to read us from Matthew 26.
Matthew 26:28. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it. This is my blood of the covenant."
Dear Lord, we thank you for today and that we're able to meet in this way, even though it's not our normal get-together. It's amazing that we're able to communicate and pray and share communion together in this way. Lord, we pray for our government and the politicians. We pray that they are guided by you, by love, and that they do what's best for our country. We pray for our nation. We pray that people will feel unity and a sense of community as we move through these stages together. Lord, we pray for those homes who perhaps don't feel connected and feel lonely or feel poorly. We pray that you'll be with them with your healing hands. We pray very much so for our children. This time of uncertainty can cause great anxiety, and I pray that you're with them and their families as we navigate this challenging time. We pray for our teachers and our decision makers as we think about returning to school soon. And we pray for our world. So much more going on in this world than the virus, but somehow that all seems forgotten. We pray for everybody who's affected by famine, poverty, drought, and many other issues that go on despite the virus. And Lord, we pray for our church family. We pray that we can be together at some point, physically. I know that we all miss each other, but Lord, we're so thankful for our fellowship as we look to welcome Elizabeth into our church. In your name we pray. Amen.